encouragement again that it's been just be able to work with them. And we've already been blessed this morning just with the special music, but now it's time for preaching. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and do this. We've got three chairs up here now. This may be the last time you guys are going to be able to sit up here with permission. So why don't you guys go ahead and come on up. We've got three preachers tonight, so you guys come on up and take one of these seats. You can feel how comfortable they are and how nice they are. But it is a blessing. On Wednesday nights, while they have Bible Institute, I've actually been, we've been blessed with quite a few young men that have surrendered to God's calling on their life to preach. Some of which, many more than those that I've had in class. I've been having a homiletics class or a preacher boys class during the Bible Institute class upstairs with some of our teenagers. We've got about seven in there. We've got seven in there, actually. And there's actually a few more that are taking other classes that haven't been able to be in that class. But again, what an honor and privilege that it is, how God's working in our youth group and with our youth, with just people surrendering to want to do God's will for their life. All right, so this is kind of like their final exam, I guess you could say. All right, so we'll see how it goes. Now, the thing is, I'm not grading them. Praise the Lord for that. God's grading them. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Right, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's find out if they're going to be approved unto God. I believe that they are. It's been a blessing with many of the men that are in there. We've got three tonight. We actually had one this morning. I asked all of them, if you were to put in order the ones that you would, the services that you would be most scared to preach in front of, all right? I gave them the options for Sunday morning with the teen church in the teen service with all the teenagers. Some of the hardest thing is to preach to your peers, right? They said number one by far, that's that. Number two would be in here with all of you, with all the, you know, behind this pulpit, with all the faces staring back at them and all the others. And then the third one would be upstairs on Wednesdays with our group of teenagers. So this morning, actually, one of our teenagers, you heard him sing a special, all right, which any of you know him, even himself said, there's no way he would ever thought he'd be up here singing a special. But Brother Noah Hipley preached a powerful message this morning, the power of the blood, right? This morning in teen church to our teenagers, and what a blessing that was. On Wednesday, we're going to have three more of our young men that'll be giving, actually, some of them their first message ever. They'll be delivering their message with our teenagers on Wednesday. And tonight, I've got three others here that are going to bring the service tonight, bring the preaching tonight. The first one you've heard before. And it's going to be Brother Francisco Ramirez. It's just been a blessing to see how the Lord has worked in his life, going from never really being involved to jumping in and being involved, particularly in the matter of soul winning. This young man is a soul winner, right? When it comes down to the Salvation Station, he's one of the first ones to always ask, can I be on that field at the Salvation Station? All right, he always comes out to soul winning. He's got a burden for it. And I remember the first time he came out. And for the longest time, and this is really an encouragement to anyone here to just go out and get involved and go soul winning. The first times he would ever go out, this is all he did. Knock on the door and step away for someone else to talk. And sometimes that's where it starts, right? And then before long, he introduced himself, he introduced the church, and then when it came down to asking the question, if you're to die today, are you 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, he would leave it for his partner to do it. And then one day he said, Brother James, can you pray for me? I'm gonna ask someone today in soul winning. And it was shortly after that, he led his first soul to the Lord, and it's been many souls thereafter that he just has a burden to see souls saved. All right, so you listen now, Brother Francisco, Preacher Francisco Ramirez, come up and preach to us.
Thank you, church, for just allowing me and my friends and to just allowing us to just preach to you. Matthew chapter 5 is where we'll be reading the message at Matthew chapter 5. And again, I just want to give thanks to Brother Rosales and Pastor Carter and you, church, for allowing this to happen. None of this would be happening without you and God. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for support. Yeah, Matthew chapter 5 is where we'll be reading. I want to look at the previous chapter. I want to set a setting. In the previous chapter, we see Jesus is traveling to Galilee, and in Galilee, he's teaching and preaching, and he's healing the sick. And then we see that, you know, his fame goes all throughout Syria. And then we see that people come and bring other people that are sick, and he heals all of them. And then we see that a great multitude follows him, people from all around the city, from all around. And then in the beginning of chapter 5, we see that he sees the multitude and he goes upon a mountain. And then we see that his disciples follow him afterwards. And we see him teaching and preaching and all these words, you know. But I just want to look at verse number 14. Verse number 14, Matthew chapter 5. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." I'll read through verse all the way to 16. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So the first thing I want to see, you know, in verse number 14 is, "You are the light of the world." We must ask, what is the light? When we get saved, Jesus obviously, he comes into, saves our soul, but he also puts a light in us. And our light is to shine unto men that, verse number 16, that it glorifies your Father, And, if I was to turn off all the lights in this room and to cover all the windows, make sure it was just pitch black, and, I have a flashlight. Just get it. Okay. I have a little flashlight. Okay. And it's not bright right now because it's brighter lights, but if I was to turn off all the lights and to cover everything, this light would be the only thing that stands out, This object would be the only thing that stands out from the stairs, from the pews, from the piano. Why? Because it's different. It stands out. Yeah. In the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary, it describes light as, let me read it, okay. It describes light as, you want it? Okay. It says light as bright, clear, not dark or obscure. Now this is, it's not that bright, but when it's dark, it's obviously bright, okay? And then, Jesus obviously gives us that light, and it says, a city that's set on a hill, I was given advice, today that this really means about your testimony and who you are, and testimony, to everybody is what you do, what you say, how you act, how you dress. It's who you are to other people, And we as Christians have a greater, I forgot the word. We have a greater purpose to show others the light. We can either guide others into God or we can guide others away from God. And our testimony is important, It shouldn't be something that we take lightly. It should be something that, we should be praying about and asking God for wisdom and how we should handle things and ask, ask him for wisdom and all that, I heard this from today and I heard this before, our testimony can be the only way that some people can hear about heaven, the only way that some people can hear about Jesus, And, if our light is shining bright, if our light is shining to the right path and the right way to God, then, it's easier to follow them. And the second thing I want us to look about is, what should we do with this light? I always talk about what the light is and why, and we have it because we are saved. If you're not saved, then you don't have the light, And it says, in verse number 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." What should we do with the light? The Bible tells us that we shouldn't hide it, but we should shine it. We should shine it to others, Amen. And it tells us, and like I use the example with the flashlight, Let's just pretend that there was a path, but the lights were out. You wouldn't be able to see that path because it was in darkness. You can't see nothing, But if we as Christians that have a light, we can be able to shine it across and just show them that there is a path, there is a God, there is a heaven, there is a way for to get away from this darkness of the world, It's not that they don't see the path, because of the spiritual blindness, It's not hard to look around the world and see that there is a darkness in the world, not just regular darkness, a spiritual darkness. We as Christians have an opportunity to show others that there is a path for more. There's a path for the peace and comfort and all that. And the third thing I'm going to look at is why should we shine our light? It tells us in verse number 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We talk about what is the light, what should we do that we should shine it, and why should we shine it, I don't know about you, but God has been good to me in my life and the life of my families and my friends, and God has just blessed me beyond our measures. He's given me opportunity to just, speak clearly, like Brother Russell said, I do not like speaking on soul winning. I just let my partner do it. I just not, But when I was willing to just surrender myself to him and to let him use me as a mouthpiece, it took, convincing and praying, but at the end it was very easy. It wasn't easy, but it was easy, you know, with God, and you know, since we have this light, we should shine it to others, and others see that, you know, there is a God, and God is good in our lives, and God is good in the lives of others, and, you know, and I just want to give you that message, and, you know, I just want to give you something before the other preacher comes up, you know, just to think about, you know, throughout the week or throughout the day, you know. You know, do you have a light? You know, first of all, you know, if you don't have a light, you know, you can't shine it. If you're not given a light, you can't really use it, you know. And, you know, if you're not saved, then you don't have a light. You know, if you want to have the light, then you have to get saved. Number two, you know, if you do have one, you know, are you shining it? Are you showing others that there is a path that they can take that will take them away from the world? You know, are you being different from them, you know? Are you just the same? Are you covering your light? Are you just hindering the light from doing what it's doing? Are you just being the same object? I mean, again, if I turn this off and I turn off all the lights, there's no difference from this and another object. But if I turn it on, there's a difference.
Amen.
You know, are you shining it or are you hiding it? Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? You know, one of my life verses, you know, is Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and it's a salvation to everyone that believes. I don't know about you, but my salvation is great. You know, I'm so thankful for my salvation. I try to thank God every day for it. I try to just praise Him for it. And it's an opportunity for just Him sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. And that's what we should do. We should give thanks. We should show others that, you know, God does love us. God does still love us. And He showed His love on Calvary. You know, and another thing is, are you giving thanks for all that God has done? You know, verse number 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The whole purpose of this is, yes, to show others that there is a path. Yes, to show others that there is a way, and to show others that, you can be separated from the world, you know. But overall, just to give thanks to God and to glorify Him for all that He's done, for just creating us, for sending His Son, for loving us, for making ways that we can just honor and glorify Him. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Again, the question is, do you have the light? Right? Do you have the light? Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, it means that you're just in a world of darkness with no hope because you have no light. Let me encourage you, at the end of the service, we'll have an invitation. Let me encourage you, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're walking in a world of darkness, to come and trust in Him and be saved today. Amen? Our next preacher is going to be someone that has ridden on our buses, Austin Jones. All right, it's his particular blessing coming in on a yellow bus and just watching him and seeing him grow in the Lord, growing in his boldness and his desire to want to serve Him. With that, I do want to also particularly thank many of our college students. All right, I can't tell you how important they are, those and they know who they are particularly, but how much of an encouragement and how much of an influence you are and how much of an impact, really a light you are to many of our teenagers. Many of our college students, they'll go out, for instance, Austin particularly, one of our college students will go out and pick him up and bring him to church, that he wouldn't be able to make it to church if not for our buses or someone to go out and to pick him up. Now, the importance there is this, all right? Any eternal investment is worth it, all right? At one point, he lived closer to the church. Now he lives a good bit away, but it's still worth it to go out. Maybe you've got someone near you that you can bring to church. And we're willing to bring them everywhere else. Why don't we bring them to church? And what an encouragement that is. I'm encouraged to hear. If you haven't heard him before, he's preached several times on the yellow bus in the past. We're excited to hear him preach. So, Brother Austin, why don't you come up and preach the next message.
Thank you for having me. I thank Brother James for giving me the opportunity. Thank all of you for giving me the opportunity. We're going to be in Hebrews 11:1. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The reason I wanted to preach this is because originally I wanted to preach something else that I submitted to Brother James, and I felt like God was telling me to preach something else. He wanted me to preach this. I feel like people need to hear this. It's living by faith, not by sight, which is also 2 Corinthians 5:7. And in Corinthians, it's Paul's letter to the Corinthians focuses on the importance of living a life that is anchored in faith despite the challenges we face in the visible world. As believers, we are called to live by faith, which is often contrary to the world's reliance on what we can see and touch. Living based on physical and visible evidence or relying on our own understanding and senses, the tension between faith and sight, we are in a world that constantly demands evidence and explanations but faith calls us to trust in God's promises even when we cannot see them. Meaning, if you can't see something, trust in God. Amen. Like, one of my good friends, he asked me all the time, how do I trust in God when I can't see him? It's because I have faith. And I know you can't see him, you can't see heaven, you can't see all this stuff in the Bible, but if you have faith, you don't need to see it. I'm going to go to Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Which means, like, faith builds our spiritual strength, and faith strengthens our spiritual walk and helps us grow in character and perseverance. And James 1, 2 through 4 says, that elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace by be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And faith fuels hope. Faith provides the hope we need to endure trials and to trust in God's ultimate plan. Romans 8:24-25 says, for we are saved by hope, but hope is seen is not hope. For what is a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And some examples of living by faith: Abraham in Genesis 12:1-4, called by God to leave his home without knowing where he was going, yet he trusted God's promise. And the apostles, they followed Christ and spread the gospel despite facing persecution and uncertainties of the future. And living by faith in practical terms, trusting in God in uncertainty encouraged the congregation. And internal perspective, while sight is temporarily and can deceive, living by faith provides an internal perspective. We trust in the eternal promises of God, which are certain. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Walking by faith is an everyday decision, and faith should guide us in our everyday choices, relationships, and priorities. We walk by faith even in the routine and mundane aspects of life. The role of prayer in Scripture: strengthen your faith through daily prayer, reading, and meditating on God's Word. Internal perspective: while sight is temporary and can deceive, living by faith provides the internal perspective. God's faithfulness: when we walk by faith, we can be assured in God that God is faithful to fulfill his promises. Hebrews 10:23. And victory in Christ: ultimately, our faith leads us to the victory over sin, death, and the world through Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4-5. And when I was thinking, I was originally just going to preach on James, and then Brother Vercellus was going to print it out for me and everything, and I was just going to preach that. But then 2 days ago, I was thinking, you know, I don't know if people really need to hear this. And then I feel like God told me just to preach on 2 Corinthians 5:7, and I wrote the whole outline and everything and sent it to Brother James. He printed it out, and I'm preaching it now, and I feel like y'all really do need to hear this, because some people don't really believe in God because they don't see him. But I can tell you, I believe in God because I have faith. I read the Bible, and I know you can't see him, but he is real. And I'm going to leave you with this. Just remember a time in your life where you have done something by faith, and instead of seeing it and trusting in God's lead by faith and not by sight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Austin, again. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It goes hand in hand with the light of the world, right? We walk by his light, all right, not our own. And oftentimes when we do, and unfortunately, like exactly what he said, far too often we walk according to our own steps. We walk according to our own desires. We think that we're good enough to shine our own light. But yet, the Bible wants us, God wants us to walk by faith in him and not by our own sight. Amen? Our next preacher, our last preacher today, you've heard before, but it's a blessing to have him, particularly personally for me, all right, and that's my son Josiah Vercellus, all right. Oftentimes, with really any of these boys, including myself, a lot of preachers that I know, it seems like God seems to call those that you would never think would actually be up here to do it, all right. It's funny the way God works those type of ways. I remember when I was growing up, there's no way you would think that I would ever be up here in this type of position. And you ask any of these boys, even before many of them came to me in prayer, God just asking me, Lord, or rather, Brother James, pray for me. I think God's calling me to preach, and it's something that they would never, ever want to do, right? But when you're willing to just allow God do what he wants to do, that's when you can see great and mighty things. Far too often, we want to do things our way, and we hinder ourselves from seeing what God has for us. In many ways, and Josiah being my son, he oftentimes just kind of sits to himself and doesn't really speak out much, but the Lord's called him to preach. The Lord's going to do something great and mighty with that, and we're encouraged by that and see how the Lord's going to work in his life. So we have him bringing the last message. So Josiah, why don't you come up and preach to us?
All right, turn your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is obviously like a well-known, well-read passage of Scripture, but this is just what I felt that God's been telling me to preach. I want to start off by thanking y'all for coming tonight and just coming to support our youth group. and just for faithfully coming. And I'd also like to apologize if you came expecting a good long sermon from an actually experienced preacher, because you're going to get none of that tonight. So thank you anyways for coming. I'd like to thank Pastor Carter for starting this church and just continuing the faith for so long. And I'd like to thank Pastor Parsons for like making the handoff of the church just go so smoothly, and not just to be another example story for another preacher to preach about. I'd like to thank my dad for raising me the right way and just bringing me to this place where I'm able to do this. It's important to teach your kids the right things, and I think my dad's been able to do that. All right, so if you're in Ephesians chapter 6, go to verse number 13, and it says, Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, if you weren't, like, for those of you that weren't there this morning when Noah preached, he preached on the power of the blood. And then, obviously, we just heard Francisco preach on the power of the light, and Austin preach on the power of faith. And tonight, I'll be preaching on, well, I changed it, but the power of God's armor. All right? So the first thing I like to like recognize is that it's important to always have on the whole armor of God. All right? You can't go out onto a football field with nothing but your helmet and your cleats and expect to do anything right. You're just going to get injured like that. So, and like it was like imagine running a race but you don't have your shoes on. Like it's not going to work. It's almost impossible to walk the right Christian walk if you lack any one of these pieces that it talks about here in this passage of scripture. And just like Pastor Parsons always says, if you have one little chink in your armor, that can ruin the entire thing. Second thing I like to see is it's important to always have it on. You never know when the devil is going to come and attack. You need to always be ready day in and day out to resist the devil. And in James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we always need to be ready to resist him and to fight back against the attacks, since we never know when it's going to come. Because as soon as we let our guard down, that is when the devil is going to attack us. As soon as you're not thinking the right thoughts, as soon as you look at the wrong thing, that is when the devil will get in and get the temptation. I remember in junior church back in Gainesville, my dad preached this whole like multiple week like campaign sort of thing on if you give the devil an inch, he will become your ruler. And that's just something I've always like thought about. And then number three, it's important to always have on the right armor. Right? Like I said, if you're running a race and instead of shoes on you have flip flops or like flippers or something, I mean, what are you doing? You're not gonna do anything right. Right, like how many of you seen like the old Mark Wahlberg movie Invincible, the football movie? That I don't know why, but I like that movie so much. And there's this one scene where he's like he gets the quarterback pads, but he's on special teams, so he goes to try and tackle this guy, but instead he's like he gets hurt real bad. Like quarterback pads are like smaller and stuff. And then we can't do any of this in our own strength, right? In Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, it says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit," saith the Lord. We can't do anything in our own strength. It says, Jesus said that with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then, as I enter the individual pieces, I'd like for Daniel to come out, if he's back there. Daniel. All right, so this is from when my dad preached on the armor of God. So this is like 12-something years ago. So this is the whole armor of God. And if you actually look at some of the buses from the sword, there are holes in the ceiling from when he hit the roof of the bus when he was preaching. So, yeah, that's what that is. All right, so as we head into it. Oh, sorry. So the first piece I'm going to be looking at today is the belt of truth. So the belt's purpose was to hold everything together. The tunic, if you would, it would hold it all together. And it would be the first piece that the Roman soldier would put on, and it would be the last piece to take off. All right, so we always need to have to be truthful, because every time you lie, it sets you back that many steps. The truth is just like a little bit better, like every truth you tell. You need to build that testimony up. Like me as a kid, even still today, I was a liar, dude. It was insane. And so now my parents, they trust me. They trusted me less and less back then, and so it's harder for them to trust me now. And then even the world realizes that, like, you'll watch stuff or you'll read things, and those, like, when someone messes something up, the advice, like, their best friend or whatever will give them is just tell the truth, man. This is, you always got to be truthful to those whenever you talk to them. And one thing I noticed, I wonder if God, like, looked into the future and he just saw this parent, like, spanking his kid with a belt. It was like, I'll make that the truth. Because you always need to be telling them the truth. Right? Because, like, I mean, you're not gonna lie to them when you spank them. I mean, my dad, he uses, like, bamboo back scratchers. But anyways. All right. So the next piece I'm gonna be looking at is the breastplate of righteousness. All right, so the physical, the Roman breastplate, it would protect, like, all the vital organs, your heart, your lungs, your stomach, and I like to see, especially your heart, how righteousness, you need to always be pure, always be right, thinking the right things, doing the right things, because of your heart. The Bible says, I think it's a Proverbs, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you can't, like, if you say something wrong, or you say something, like, just dumb, that's just showing you what your heart is. Like the more you talk about one thing, the less you'll talk about God. And that means that you're thinking more about that thing than about God. The definition of righteousness is the active and passive obedience of Christ by which the law of God is fulfilled. So one thing I saw in this was that it says active and passive obedience. This is saying you always have to be doing it, and you always have to be doing it with a passion. Right now we're in flag football season, and my dad and Coach Stanek and Coach Revel, they're always telling the guys, intensity. You always need to have that passion, that driving edge to get you the win. And in Psalms 51 verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and a new right spirit within me." If you're like my dad, he just finished preaching teen church on the 10 principles of Christian life, and one of them was, it's easier to keep the heart clean than after it's already been defiled. You can't live a life doing anything you want, and then on Sunday you try to clean up, because it's going to show through. Because out of the bunch of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? So you're always going to be keeping it clean. It's always harder to clean your room after you've just been letting anything go there, and you're just, like, throwing everything around, and then you try to clean up. Trust me, I live with four brothers in my room. Anyway, so righteousness, it's just such an important piece to protect your heart. All right, and then the next one we're going to be looking at is having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So I honestly believe this has a double meaning. First of all, the word gospel that it says means good news. And then everyone please hold your finger there and then turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So, like I was saying earlier, you always need to be ready to go. See, the first two words of gospel, it says go. So you always need to be ready to go and give the good news of God to everyone else. All right? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you can afford it all to yourself. That's just wrong. You need to go around and give it to other people. That's why you have teen soul winning. That's why you have Thursday soul winning. That's why you have Saturday bus visitation. We have all of that. Because if we don't, who will? the lost people aren't going to go and tell other lost people how to get saved, because then why aren't they saved? All right. And then second of all, it's important that we're always working to have peace with our other Christians and other people around us. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So my house, there's 6 kids, and my mom, we're homeschooled, so she would always teach us this verse to live peaceably with each other, because 6 kids, you're not going to just live by yourself. Like, come on. But like, so like, whenever we fight, she gives us this verse. We always keep it in mind. We always need to say it. So you need to constantly strive to have peace with others. It won't just happen by itself. You need to go and do it. All right. The next one we're looking at is the shield of faith. So this is actually like a third of the size of an actual Roman shield. It would be like as tall as a full-grown man to cover his entire body. So basically, your faith needs to be big enough to envelop your entire body. This is the biggest piece of armor. It says, it says above all. It even tells us that this is the most important piece of armor. And like one of the Roman tactics they would do was they would like all the people, as they would like storm a castle or whatever, they would like hold their shields up to make like this sort of tank, like this early tank. They would walk with it. And so we need to always be supporting each other, like no matter what's going on, whatever's going around, you need to always be ready to, you need to always be able to help someone up whenever they fall. You know, always be able to protect someone whenever one of them would get taken out, they would have to step over to protect, to fill in that spot. And then they would probably have people start like helping them or whatever. So like, you need to always be ready, always be able to resist the fiery darts of the wicked. And so like whenever another Christian is hurting, we always need to be ready to help them get through their hard times. All right, the next we're going to be looking at is the helmet of salvation. So the physical helmet's purpose was obviously like protect the head and the mind. So this also could have a double meaning. First of all, the helmet of salvation, whenever you doubt your salvation, or whenever the devil puts like little doubts in your mind, like in Job or whatever he says, you need to always be ready to resist him and to think good thoughts. Also, whenever there's a bad thought that comes in your head, when you get saved, right, the Holy Spirit, he comes into you after salvation. He comes into you, and my mom always says, he's not going to make you change it, but he'll go, blah, I don't like that. And so, we always need to be listening to that voice, because as it goes on and on, he'll stop hearing you. Like, when you don't hear him, he'll be like, all right, fine, whatever, you can do it yourself. And then, so as you go on, you keep doing wrong, you keep ignoring the Holy Spirit, he quiets down. And if you have any doubts on your salvation today, get that settled. That's important. That's the most important decision you'll ever make. Right, the next one we talk about is the sword of the Spirit. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Yeah, you can take it out. I know you want to. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here, there's like, the fact that there's two separate places talking about almost the same thing, like comparing the Bible to the same thing, I mean, that's just like, dude, how do you not know what that means? I mean, it's like, it's telling us straight up, this is what you need to, this is like the Holy Spirit in you telling you the right things to say. Like Austin, he preaches a separate message from what he was going to because the Holy Spirit told him to. And because he was listening to that voice, he knew what to preach. Because if you're not listening to that voice, like I said, it'll quiet down. And then you won't hear it, and you won't get God's counsel. The sword also was the only piece of armor that was used offensively and defensively. So like whenever we're going soul winning, me like a Jehovah Witness, or like when Jesus, when the devil tried Jesus on top of the mountain, he used the Bible against him. All he did was just quote Bible to him, quote it. So like, you always need to be able to know those verses. Like, we just got back from Sony Marathon, and my partner was Ben. I said this on my testimony. And he like, knew all these verses. I was like, dude, where are these? I didn't even know these were in the Bible. And he just, like, quoted them. I was like, what in the world? And so, like, since then, I've been trying to, like, know different verses. And that's important that you look to your elders and just look to other people around you. That if they know more than you, don't be prideful and be like, man, I could do that. Be like, how do I learn that? How do I become that? And we especially need to always have this peace, especially when spending time with others who are lost. My dad, whenever we're with my grandparents, they're lost. They're not saved. So whenever he's there, he's constantly looking for the opportunity to witness to them, to give them scripture. So we always need to do that. We always need to do that. So I encourage you tonight. How's your armor doing? Is it powerful? Is it ready? Is it rusty and moldy? That's just gross. But, like, are you ready to go into battle? That is the most important thing. Thank you. Good night.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How good our God is, that he's our foundation of our faith. He's given us the word of God and the armor. But all of that's all fine and good. But it's no good if we don't actually put it into practice. So that's what it really comes down to. Hopefully you've been challenged tonight. We're going to have a time of invitation for you to come up. And I don't know how the Lord has worked in your heart or in your life today. Obviously, there's a lot of different ways, but it seems like the overwhelming theme has been your faith. How is your faith today? All right. Are you willing to walk in faith and in the light of faith? Are you willing to walk by faith, not by sight? Are you willing to walk by faith, not in your own strength, but in the power of the armor of God? And along with that, do you have not only the whole armor and the right armor, but do you have it on at all? Again, if you're missing one piece, well, then you're not ready for battle. So I don't know how the Lord's spoken to your hearts today, but we'll go ahead and have all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Let's go ahead and all stand. And as we open the invitation, let me encourage you to come forward and do business with God today. I don't know how you were challenged today, but there's many different opportunities for how the Lord worked in your heart. Let me encourage you to do business now. If the Lord's spoken to you in whatever way, now's the invitation, as it would be, to do business about it, to have your heart changed, to have your life changed. Maybe you're here today and it all starts with a foundation of faith in Jesus Christ. Are you here today and you don't know Jesus? Are you here today and you're not saved? You don't know him as your Savior? Can I encourage you to come forward? Can I encourage you to come and talk to someone? We'll simply show you what the Bible says, what God says, and about how you can be saved today and know that not only heaven is your home, but this world that you're living in today, you have a faith grounded in Jesus Christ to walk by faith, not by sight, to walk in the light, to walk with your armor ready on. Do you have the faith the way that you ought to? Let me encourage you to come and do business with God as your invitation begins.